Our sermon topic for this morning is the role of the Holy Spirit, and our quarter's theme is the foundation of our Christian faith. I'll invite Uncle Prosper Madufo to come and take the word.
Thank you. Good morning, brethren. Let us pray. Lord, as we open your word this morning, I latch on the prayers that was said earlier by Sister Sarah. We ask, Father, that, Lord, your spirit will take full control in this auditorium. We pray, Father, that the mission statement of Jesus, which he declared in Luke chapter 6, O God, that your spirit, O God, will come, breaking every yoke, breaking every stronghold. Lord, opening our hearts, O Father, to receive your word, such that we will respond sincerely, deeply, and in action to what you're speaking to us today. Lord, I pray for grace that you help me today to deliver your whole oracle, that I may not speak on my own accord, but only through the words that you've given me to speak. Holy Spirit, we thank you because your presence is here, and you'll continue to help us even through this time. Blessed be your name, Father, for in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. We are continuing on the test, on the topic for the quarter, and today is the role of the Holy Spirit, the role of the Holy Spirit. Very important topic, which was a continuation of last week's message. When Auntie Dada aptly presented, you know, very key salient point on the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. Just a bit of a recap from what she said last Sunday. The Holy Spirit is God, the third person of the Holy Trinity, who internally proceeds from the Father. She also mentioned that the Holy Spirit is co-equal with the Father and the Son. And also, he is a person. He's not an it. So because he's a person, he can be grieved. So that's why it's important as we work with the Holy Spirit, we continuously make sure that we live in obedience. And also, she mentioned last Sunday that the Holy Spirit has been in existence from the beginning. And that's dispensation. He comes, you know, as on need basis. To the priests when they need to perform a duty, and to every other leaders then when they need to perform an action as directed by the Lord. So today we are continuing to deepen that topic, which we started last week, and we're looking at the role of the Holy Spirit, the role of the Holy Spirit. And this is really, really important, because if we understand the role of the Holy Spirit, it makes our walk with God seamless. He makes our walk, our Christian journey, becomes not a burden, but rather now it makes it easy, because we are depending on the Holy Spirit, because he is the one that in this dispensation that the Lord Jesus have given to us to walk alongside us. And on the very topic we had, I would like to break that the passage we read into two places. We have from chapter 12 to 14 of John chapter 4. I would like to look at that passage. I'll call it that block. I'll call it the Holy Spirit in the big picture in verse 12 to 14 of John 14. And then we then look at the role of the Holy Spirit from verse 15 to 26. So that can help us to really appreciate what the Lord is trying to communicate to us today through his word. So let's go to the context of that particular passage, verse 4 of John chapter 14. Now, John 14 is part of the upper room discourse, where Jesus was just shortly going to, you know, Gethsemane, where he will be, you know, crucified, where he will go to the cross, die on the cross, and then depart from the earth. So in this upper room discourse, he had been explaining to the disciples what it means that, look, you will not see me any longer. You're seeing me now, but shortly I will be gone. And understandably, the disciples were distraught. The disciples were, you know, quite amazed. I mean, these guys have left everything to follow Jesus. They were fishermen who for three and a half years, they were following Jesus. You know, left their father, left everything. And so all the moral instruction they were getting, all the spiritual instruction they were getting, were from Jesus. And then he just came and then told them that, look, I will be no more. So they are, in their mind, they are puzzled, they are disturbed. And Jesus knew that they were absolutely not happy with what he has explained to them that he is leaving. And that's why he started in verse 1 of that John 14. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You know, believe in God, believe also in me. So Jesus was trying to, you know, convince them, was trying to encourage them not to be distraught about what is happening. I don't know if you have ever been to a ceremony. Just picture an event. And in that event, a VIP was invited. And because the VIP was invited to that event, the posters are all everywhere. And people knew that this person is coming. So a large number of people turned up because they were expecting to have audience, to want to see this VIP. An event was supposed to be for, give it 4 hours, but an hour into the event, the VIP, you know, announced that he was leaving. And so, as the VIP was leaving, so many people who came as a result of that VIP, you know, said, okay, if VIP is going, what's the essence of me continuing to stay here? And every other person starts leaving. Just have that picture, you know, as to what the disciples were going through at the moment, you know. And it was in the basis of this that Jesus started, you know, to explain the concept and the role of the Holy Spirit to them so that they can understand. And he said, look, it is to your advantage that I leave. That sounds a bit for them. He said, how will it be to my advantage that you leave? He said, look, if I leave, it would then allow the Holy Spirit to come. And if the Holy Spirit will come, he will be with you forever. I'm sure in their mind, they are yet to understand and comprehend what indeed that Jesus was trying to communicate to them. But it is on that basis. It is to your advantage that I leave. So as that takes us very nicely to verse 12 to 14 of where we read our passage this morning, where Jesus said, look, assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do. And greater works than this will he also do. I call it Holy Spirit in the big picture. It's greater works than this. A lot of times when people read this, they think, okay, if Jesus healed the sick, maybe he healed, he raised the dead, maybe two or three, then it means that the disciples are now maybe probably going to raise 10. Now, when we look at this particular statement that Jesus made, look at it in context. He is actually communicating to them that, look, the greater you're going into a phase of the Spirit that is greater. You're going to experience far more greater than what you have seen me here. Now, Jesus stayed with the disciples 3.5 years, and then he's gone. But when the Holy Spirit comes, the Bible says he will remain with them forever. So he's now looking at the scope of what will happen. The greatness here looks at the privilege of being able to be part of the dispensation of the Spirit. Now, Jesus was right. The scripture says in Romans, John 6, verse 29, when Jesus had performed signs and the disciples came to him and said, oh, look, Lord, you know, how this thing you have given us, can you do more? Jesus said, you're coming because of the signs that, you know, I'm giving you. Jesus said, look, and they asked him, Lord, what are the works that you want us to do? Jesus said in Rome, John chapter 6, verse 39, that the works is that you believe. So the work, John 6, 39, is that you believe. And again, when we read Mark chapter 12, the Bible said, these signs and wonders shall follow them that believe in my name. He said, those signs, these signs and wonders shall follow them. So what that simply means that they being able to be partakers of the dispensation of the Holy Spirit, whereby more souls will be won. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit rested upon 120 disciples that were there. These 120 disciples went out and continued expanding the gospel. So you see, the gospel grew in quantum. Souls were won. Jesus was actually saying that because a lot of people will be coming into the kingdom, Jesus focused on Jerusalem and Judea. That was where he was during the period that he was there. But now, as a result of the dispensation of the Holy Spirit, there will now be multiples of disciples made as a result of Holy Spirit coming in the heart of each and every one of the people. That is the greater works. That is what Jesus was explaining as to the belief, as number of people that will be believing and in his name as a result of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Brethren, the greatest miracle that can ever happen is that a soul has been turned from heading to hell into the kingdom of God. That is the greatest miracle that can happen. No wonder the Bible said that heaven rejoices over one soul that repents. So could you imagine now, because of the dispensation of the Holy Spirit, people are now multiples all over. People are getting saved and coming into the house and coming into the kingdom of God. Remember that God has a priority. Matthew chapter 6 verse 33 tells us the priority of God. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. That's God's priority. All other things shall be added. All other things then include the signs and wonders that shall follow as a result of the believing and the enlargement of the kingdom of God. That is the greater works. And that is happening as a result of the dispensation of the Holy Spirit happening and the Spirit residing in the hearts of people. And the disciples now being empowered to go all out and bring as many souls as possible into the kingdom of God. That is the greater works. And as you go out preaching, signs will follow. Miracles will follow. But those are not the important things that matter to the kingdom of God. It is that souls are being multiplied and people are coming into the kingdom. So that is the big picture that the Holy Spirit is bringing into the scene as a result of the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. Now that takes us to verse 13, where Jesus was also teaching. He said again, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Whatever you ask in my name. And this is another important explanation that needs to be made. Whatever you ask, some people it looks like a whole complete blank check. Everything you ask in my name, it will be done to you. Well, that is partially true. That is true. But there are conditions. He said, in my name, whatever you ask in my name. There is something about a name. Names can open doors. Names can, it's associated with character. I mean, if you get a call and say Joe Biden wants to speak to you, that name, Joe Biden, as the leader of the free world, in quote, will immediately, you know already what is communicating. Names are powerful. Names communicate, character. Names communicate the will of the person who bears it. The name of Jesus is a door opener. The name of Jesus opens access to God. And so therefore, when he's saying here that whatever you ask in my name, whatever you ask in the context of the character of the name of Jesus, it will be done to you. Whatever you ask within the revealed will of Jesus, whose name is what is accompanying, whose name is what opens access into the throne of grace, into the presence of God, it will be done. That is the condition And there is a purpose. The purpose is that God be glorified. It's not for your self-aggrandizement, but the aim of all things being given to you is that God be glorified. And what is the promise? Because Jesus said, I will do it. So, number one, whatever you ask in his name, he said, I will do it. Why? Because his name will be glorified. Now, the Holy Spirit is the one. Remember, the Bible calls Holy Spirit, he says, he's the Spirit of truth. That Jesus said, he will glorify me. When the Holy Spirit, he said, he's not going to be speaking on his own. He's going to speak of what is what we have told him. And that's what he's communicating. His work is that he will glorify me. And so as we walk with the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit lives in us, it communicates the glorification of Jesus. And in that way, our action helps us in making sure that our action is within the boundaries of the name of Jesus. And he said, if we do that, we will have what we pray, what we have asked. And that takes us to the verse 15 to 26, which shows us the various roles of the Holy Spirit. And we could see in verse 15 there that the Holy Spirit is God's response to those that love and obey him. If you love me, keep my commandments. And then in verse 16, he said, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. So Holy Spirit, in response to the obedience and our love for him, he sends the Holy Spirit. And that's why the Holy Spirit resides in the heart of an obedient and a willing servant who have committed his heart to the Lord. So in response to those of us who love and obey the Lord, God sends the Holy Spirit. And verse 16 tells us another role of the Holy Spirit, which is to be our helper. Wow. It's interesting that the passage calls it another helper. What does it mean that it will be another helper? He said that he might abide with you forever. Another helper means like one beside, another of same kind, that shows similarity but diversity of operations and ministries. And that is what the Holy Spirit, he walks in. You know, when Jesus was here, the disciples could see him physically. They can talk to him physically. They can communicate with him. Now, Jesus is saying that the Holy Spirit, whatever, he said it's even more advantage that you have the Holy Spirit. So it means, therefore, that the advantage we're having by having Jesus physically present has not in any way been diminished as a result of the Holy Spirit. But in fact, it means, therefore, that we have him. He indwells in us. And that what means is that it confers on us so much advantage that we would have had if Jesus was physically present. But a lot of us, because, you know, we like to touch, you know, we like to see, we like to. But Jesus is reminding us here that it is far better for us that we have the Holy Spirit. That's why it makes complete no sense when a Christian tries to live without the Holy Spirit. It's like you're saying, I just want to do it on my own way. He is the one who walks alongside you. He is the one that communicates Christ to you. He is basically Jesus personified. You may not see, but he is there with us. So he is our helper. Another translation calls it our advocate. Another one calls it the comforter. All these are the roles of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. I wonder how we will operate. I wonder how we will live our Christian life without acknowledging and daily walking and obeying the instructions of the Holy Spirit. It's like waking up in the morning. As you wake up in the morning, he's right there with you. It's like almost talking, oh, Holy Spirit, thank you for waking me up this morning. It's great. It's another day. So we're going to walk together for the day. And thank you because I'll be walking in obedience, obeying you, living for you. That's what Jesus said. Give us. He says it's your advantage. You walk with him. He's there with you. So you cannot live without him. It makes complete no sense to feel that I don't need the Holy Spirit. Because it's just that you're just walking empty. And that's it. The Holy Spirit is another helper who the Lord Jesus has sent that he might walk with us, he might, you know, lead us, he might guide us and strengthen us. Verse 17 of where we read calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth. What does it mean? It means that I can trust the Holy Spirit to bring the truth about Jesus and the truth about his word to me. He is the Spirit of Truth. And therefore, if we walk in the Spirit of Truth, there will be no lie. Lie cannot come near, because the Spirit of Truth is residing and living in you. And so it has no room for anything that is not true. In our relationship with others, there is no basis why it will not be true, because the Spirit of Truth lives and resides in us. So, his work, his role is the Spirit of Truth. It takes us to the third one, the fourth one. The Holy Spirit brings us into intimacy with Christ. And we see that in verse 17b. Verse 17b is, I want to really mention that point. He said, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. For he dwells in you and will be in you. So the Holy Spirit communicates Christ's intimacy. You know, the mind of Christ. That is what the Holy Spirit does. Another one is that Holy Spirit is our teacher. And we see that in verse 26 of John 14, where we read, the Holy Spirit is our teacher. Bible says he will teach us all things and bring to our remembrance all that Christ has taught us, all the things that we have read. And this cuts across so many areas of our life. That's why we keep encouraging us to attend Bible study. The Bible study was so rich today, this morning. You know, in fact, it was such an important, I wish every one of us comes early to join the Bible studies in the morning, where a lot of people shared, you know, their view of what the Holy Spirit is to them. Remember, he teaches us all things. You know, I know as you go into meeting, you know, our Uncle Femi mentioned that he was going to meeting, he asked the Holy Spirit to lead him. He communicates, he is everything to us. Everything to you can't live without him, and so he is our teacher. I shared this testimony before when I was in the university. I took a course. That thing so much impressed in my heart that up to today it makes I practice it every now and then. I took a course in I read engineering, and I've mentioned it here before, where after studying, prepared for exam, and got into the exam hall on a course called ODE, Ordinary Differential Equation. As I opened the question paper, looked it right, left, and center, blank, complete blank. And I had read and studied for this exam. I spent hours reading. I got into the exam hall, opened question paper, right, left, and center, empty. I don't even know where to start. 15 minutes, I was fiddling with my question paper, looking at it right, left, and center, and I cannot ask anybody. After 15 minutes, I just said no. I covered the question paper and I bent down in the hall. I said, Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, remind me. Holy Spirit, help me. I can't fail this course. Holy Spirit, help me. After I finished praying, I turned back the question paper. It's like I heard a word saying, reorganize the equation. Reorganize the equation? As I just reorganized the equation, Bernoulli equation came out. I said, Holy Spirit, thank you. That was how all the things I read just suddenly came. That's what the Holy Spirit teaches us. What he brings to our remembrance the things that we have been taught. All things. And by the time, in fact, for 15 minutes, you could imagine, exam is a 45-minute test. And that would have mean coming out zero. And for the way I'm taught, I do not ask anybody in the exam hall. If I don't know anything, I then pass it. But that means I have to study hard. By the time I passed the exam, fantastically, because each of them now has started reorganizing the equation. That was the Holy Spirit. He is, and this can apply in every aspect of your life, every aspect of your business, every aspect of your Christian walk with the Lord. When you're struggling, go to the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, I'm struggling here. Holy Spirit, I'm struggling here. Help me. Give me strength. Bible says, approach the throne of grace that we might find grace and strength to help in time of need. That is the alongside person given to us by the Lord to help us to make our walk with God easy. And so we can't walk without him. So he's our teacher, as we could see in verse 26. Where we read in John chapter 16, we mentioned that during our Bible study, John 16 verse 8, he said, when he comes, he convicts of sin. He convicts us the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. So the Holy Spirit was what made you and me. He convicted of sin. And because of that conviction of sin, he drove us to Christ so that we can accept him in our heart as our Lord and personal Savior to start the journey of discipleship to be who Christ have called us to be. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. So sometimes when you're praying for somebody and the person who you want to be saved, just start from the point of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you're everywhere. Holy Spirit, go to that heart. Call the heart. Lord, convince the person of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. Bring it in line with the scriptures that will allow the power of God to come forth to convict that person unto repentance. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the role of the Holy Spirit. He leads us. That's another one. The Holy Spirit leads us according to Romans chapter 8 verse 14, that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us, you know, and that we can see in Romans chapter 8 verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, you know, for we do not know how to pray. So that's why when you are in prayer, that's why it's important as a Christian. If you look at scriptures, God has promised us that as part of being receiving the Holy Spirit, that we can speak in tongues. It is not for certain people. It is for each and every one of us. For me, I like to believe everything that God has told me in the Word. I want to live the optimal Christian life. Ask him in prayers, Lord, when you're praying and you're speaking in tongues, one of the things that you're communicating the mind of God while you are on it, it helps your private prayer life. It makes it effective because the Holy Spirit is communicating. He intercedes for us. He knows how best that we can reach God in our prayer. And that is an important place that God wants us, you know, as part of the advantages that he, you know, the Holy Spirit, the role he plays in our lives. The Holy Spirit gives us boldness to preach the gospel, as we saw in Acts chapter 2, where Peter, a once timid Peter, came, and therefore by the time they received the Holy Spirit, he was bold, such that he could speak to 3,000, a huge number of people, and about 3,000 people gave their life to Christ. The Holy Spirit gives you boldness. So when next you're facing a situation that you feel that you're timid and cannot, you know, face those things, ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, give me the boldness to talk to that person or to speak to the person about Jesus. And he will embolden you, because that's what his role is in our life, to embolden us to achieve what God has asked us to achieve. He bears witness with our spirit. He prays for us. You know, the Holy Spirit bears with it. The Holy Spirit seals us. You know, when we become Christian, it's the one that has sealed us unto redemption. So we cannot in any way do without the Holy Spirit, now that we have seen the role that the Holy Spirit plays in our life. It's also possible that some people may not even know that these roles that the Holy Spirit play in our lives. But thank God that you're knowing this today. What is important, according to Acts chapter 19, verse 2, when Paul came to Corinth, and then he went to Ephesus, he asked some disciples there. He said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believe? They say, we have not so much heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. So it's possible that there are those who have become Christians, but they are not aware that there is Holy Spirit to walk alongside them, to make this walk, this journey of the Christian faith easy. We're not easy in the sense that even when it is difficult, the Holy Spirit is there as a comforter. Christianity, we're not saying Christianity is all hunky-dory, that once you become a Christian, everything goes smooth and sail. No. Even when you face the difficulties, He is right there with you, supporting you, comforting you, encouraging you as you walk along and as you give Him the room. Because He can be grieved, as we said earlier on. He is a person. So as we pray today, we're going to ask one, those, if you've not received Jesus Christ, remember, He is Holy Spirit. He does not reside in a vessel that is unclean. That, you know, He resides in a clean vessel. And that clean vessel comes by accepting Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. So that the righteousness, when God is looking down from heaven, He's not looking at your own righteousness or my own righteousness, because it's like a filthy rag. But because of the finished work of Jesus Christ, righteousness gets imputed in us by what Jesus has done. So that we can then accept the full sacrifice that Jesus have paid for us on the cross of Calvary. That is the first work the Holy Spirit will do today in our lives. Remember what, you know, in Acts of the Apostles chapter 2, the Bible said after Peter finished preaching, the people who gathered around, the Bible said they were caught to the heart. It was the Holy Spirit doing that work, convicting them of sin, convicting them of judgment, convicting them of righteousness. Will you allow the Holy Spirit to do the same to you today? Will you open up your heart that allow Him to come and reside in you and bring and walk alongside you? So we're going to, as we bow our heads to pray, we're going to pray two prayers for those who have not accepted Jesus in their Lord, in their heart as their Lord and personal Savior. We will give you opportunity to respond to that cutting of the heart that the Holy Spirit is prompting you today. And then the second prayer we're going to pray is for fresh infilling. You've been a Christian for a while now, and you've been noticing dryness in your Christian walk. It's time for the infilling. The Holy Spirit is here to fill us afresh. Just as Paul asked, have you been filled with the Spirit? And, you know, the Bible records again in Acts chapter 10, that as Peter was preaching as well, that all of a sudden the Holy Spirit came and filled the place where they are. So today we will allow the Holy Spirit free reign in our heart. So if you're here, you want to give your life to Jesus. You want to walk alongside the Holy Spirit, because He cannot walk alongside you if you're not a Christian, if you're not born again. I want you to place your hand on your chest, wherever you are, and pray this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you this morning. Lord, thank you for the Holy Spirit that is convicting me of sin, of judgment, and of righteousness. Lord, this morning I yield to you, Holy Spirit. I receive the full sacrifice that Jesus paid on the cross of Calvary for my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Come into my heart, Lord. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you've prayed that prayer, I want you to join us in this prayer for fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. We cannot walk this Christian race without the Holy Spirit. So I want us to pray in our heart, wherever you are, seated on the pew today. I want you to pray, say, Holy Spirit, fill me afresh with your Spirit. I say, Lord, empower me. Remember, they say that these signs and wonders shall follow them that believe in my name. I say, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And so I want you to open your mouth this morning and pray, Holy Spirit, pour upon my life afresh. Fill me afresh right now. Pray that prayer. Holy Spirit, 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 we welcome you. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Fill us afresh, Lord. Empower us, O God. The spirit of obedience, the spirit of truth, the spirit of prophecy. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in our midst, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Take full control. Come and take preeminence in our heart. Fill us afresh, Father. Lord, renew our hearts. Renew our minds. Help us, Father, Lord, as we walk alongside you in this journey. We don't want to walk alone. Holy Spirit, empower us. Renew us. Renew our heart. This is our prayer this morning. Thank you, Father. We give you praise, Lord. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen.